70% of the jobs that AI will be taking will be replaced and offer 90% more new opportunities to step in.
What's up, everyone? We're live, we're recording, and I got a cool guest here today. As always, I always have cool guests. We're coming to you coast to coast. I'm in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We got Southern California over here. And before I introduce the guest, I'll have him say a few words about himself. Well, we were connected by Robert Hanna, who, if you don't know, has an awesome podcast. And he connected us. Me and Rob were on each other's shows, and so he made the connection. And Mitch said, Rob said that we should connect. That's all he needs to know.
That's all needs to happen. Yeah, Rob's one of my favorite people. I just love what he's doing with the Legally Speaking podcast. And, you know, they just got picked up by Clio for another year, which tells you a lot. I know Clio and Jack Newton and that team are very, very particular about who they associate with. So when Rob put the two of us together, that's all I needed to hear. Rob, if you're watching from Dubai, have a great business trip, and we'll talk when you get back home to the UK.
Yeah, excellent. So, well, without further ado, Mitch Jackson's on the show today, and we're going to be talking about something that you've never heard of, AI. But Mitch goes a little deeper, has a different understanding of it, a different mindset and way he thinks about it, which I think you'll find very interesting and helpful to the lawyers out there. So, Mitch, thank you for joining me, and tell us your story.
Sure. You know, why don't we just start off with, you know, most lawyers and law firm owners understand AI. That's all anyone's talking about right now. But you know what, Kevin, they're using AI the wrong way. And that's why I wanted to come on the show today, because it's not about just being faster, being more efficient. That's just touching the tip of the iceberg when it comes to using artificial intelligence, especially artificial intelligence agents. So that's why I wanted to come on is raise the bar and really pull back the curtain and share with other lawyers and law firm owners how we're using it to do next level things. How to use AI to conquer issues and attack problems from a new perspective that's not linear in nature. It's just changed everything that we do on a daily basis. So my background is this is a non-AI tech background. I grew up on a ranch in Tucson, Arizona, playing cowboy, right? Riding horses. We always had 30 head of horses before we went live, four or five dogs at any one time would roll in off the desert and all mutts. And I loved them dearly. But I grew up on a ranch where my mom and dad would entertain guests from all over the world. And it gave me a chance to really get a feel for how different people think about different situations and really live their lives. Okay. And the reason I'm bringing that up is fast forward to moving to Southern California, becoming a lawyer 30 plus years ago. From day one, we opened our practice with those thoughts in mind. How can we be different? How can we add unique value? How can we provide better results for our clients? And how can we make the client experience even better? Fast forward from 1986 all the way through to today, and I can comfortably say that the lawyers that use AI in the ways that we're going to discuss today are going to be able to accomplish all of those goals. They're going to be able to run more efficient firms, save money. That's fantastic. But they're also going to be able to provide new, unique, and better services for their clients. And when you're able to do that, a couple of things happen. You can build your firm out. It's going to expand through client referrals. And you're also going to have a better quality of life so that instead of taking 5 or 6 hours to do something, you can actually pound it out in 3 to 5 minutes using the proper AI agent, which gives you 4.5 hours to either work on other files, to bring in new clients, or you can do what I like to do, go for a run and a paddle around the island. I mean, it just gives you options. So I'm excited to be here today. And that's context of what I'll be bringing to the table during our conversation.
Yeah, love it. Love the perspective and, you know, looking at it a different way and keeping things in mind. And have more time to be, spend on your business, be more creative, have that creative time or whatever. And you
enjoy
it. Put that time towards, or just
you got to enjoy what you're doing. I'm more excited today, Kevin, rolling out of bed and practicing law and using these tools, helping clients than I've ever been in my life. And most lawyers you run into, and I know you're around lawyers every single day, most lawyers are burnt out 5 or 10 years into their profession. They're ready to do something else. I'm just the opposite. And it's because of the mindset. It's because of leveraging these tools to make things easier, not only for me, but for my team and our clients. Yeah, it's so important. I mean, right now, everyone's talking about, or everyone should be looking at, the new AI agents, right? Things like OpenAI's Deep Research, which is $200 a month right now. But it's next level AI that's going to be rolling out to the less expensive options on ChatGPT that really allows you to do high level corporate research on any issue or topic that you're interested in. And or you can back off and use it also for what we're doing, which is writing a deep dive blog post on a particular breaking news story or issue, or using it to analyze what questions we should be asking a jury based upon recent news stories in our community, based upon certain political opinions in our community, understanding the issues in our cases, what, based upon all of these factors, in addition to literally hundreds of thousands of other data points, boil that down to 20 open-ended questions you think I should cover during voir dire on this particular case involving this particular issue. So I'm simplifying the prompt, but this is what we're using it for right now in the deep research features of ChatGPT via OpenAI, or Perplexity's new deep research feature, which rolled out 2 weeks ago. So this is current stuff. It's changing the game again, a game that was substantially changed 2 years ago in the first easy to use, recognizable AI platforms were made available to people like you and me.
Yeah, it's amazing. I use all those tools you just mentioned there. I wanted to see, you have a good article out there, and you shared that with me prior to us getting on the show today on LinkedIn. Love LinkedIn, by the way. I'm on there a lot. But I just wanted to address the first thing, first concern, right, for attorneys that you kind of addressed in that article you put out. Is that, you know, a lot of attorneys are like concerned, or will lawyers be replaced? Is my job going to be replaced? Is all my associates going to not have a job? And maybe there won't be lawyers or people going to law school and thinking that that's a viable option for them. So I figured maybe we could address that quickly.
Sure.
And then move on to some of the more advanced conversations.
So, Kevin, you know, we put out multiple articles every single day on LinkedIn and the other platforms. Really enjoying Blue Sky, by the way, if people aren't on Blue Sky. We rolled our new Substack newsletter out earlier this week, where I'm enjoying using the tools we're talking about to help create the content you see on Substack. Look, AI is absolutely unequivocally going to take jobs. It's unequivocally going to be replacing certain types of workers. And when I say workers, I mean it could be lawyers, doctors, engineers, donut makers, someone who's selling automobile tires, whatever it may be. It's going to change everything, and it will take jobs and positions. But just yesterday, I came across a report that talked about something like 70% of the jobs that AI will be taking will be replaced and offer 90% more new opportunities to step in. So when it comes to the law practice, it's going to substantially change how we practice law. It already is. But at the same time, for every position lost, or for every team member that you might be able to replace with artificial intelligence, I think it's going to actually offer more opportunities for that firm. The key is to get everybody on board to start learning these tools, so that you become indispensable. You know, Seth Godin wrote a book called Linkedin a long time ago, and it talks about making yourself, you know, irreplaceable in your company, especially with large Fortune 500 companies. And I think that team members right now that embrace platforms like Google's Gemini, Perplexity, and OpenAI, we haven't even talked about Google Notebook or Google AI Studio. There are the team members or employees that are really going to be making themselves indispensable to the firm. And I think the same thing applies to lawyers. So while it will take jobs, and I know people don't want to hear that, but I've never sugarcoated my opinion on anything. You know, it's funny, clients come in and they ask you a question about a legal case, right? And when they ask a question that I know they're not going to like the answer to, I'll tell them, listen, if you're having chest pain, I'm a cardiac surgeon, and you came into my office and I told you you needed to have a, you know, you need a triple bypass that I didn't tell you, I'm not doing you any good. It's not, the result's not going to end up favorably for you. My job is to tell you what I think, whether you like it or not. And what we're seeing right now, what I'm seeing with my clients, I've got clients of small companies and large companies, you know, neck deep in the AI conversations around the world. It's already replacing jobs. So the train's left the station. The key is for your listeners to make sure they find a spot on that train so that they can enjoy the opportunities that AI is bringing, right? It's a mindset. The glass isn't half empty, it's half full. And with that, I'm going to hand the mic back over to you because I could, you know, I could stand on this soapbox all day long. It just bothers me when people are so focused on, you know, will it take my job? Well, I don't know. When the automobile rolled off the assembly line, did it take the job of people that, you know, shoot horses or built carriages or made leather salads?
Yeah,
it did. But it also created a lot of new opportunities, whether it's with the vehicle itself or the travel or transportation industries. It changed everything. This is going to be times 100. So everyone needs to put their seatbelts on, strap it tight, and get ready for an exciting ride.
Today's episode is brought to you by Answering Legal. Now, I just switched my company, Array Digital, over to Answering Legal, and it's made my life a whole lot easier. If I can't get to the phone, their 24/7 virtual receptionists take the call and take them through a full intake process so we never miss new business again. Now, Answering Legal has been at this for more than a decade, and they specialize in answering phone calls for law firms like yours. They even have a brand new, easy-to-use app, and they integrate with all the top legal softwares and platforms. So, for my listeners today, we actually have a special deal of a 400-minute free trial offer of Answering Legal services that you can try out by going to answeringlegal.com/array. You can also call 631-437-4803 and use special code DAISY. That's my last name, DAISEY. So go check them out and let's get back to the show. I appreciate that. Yeah, I know you're passionate about it and I know you can go off on it. So, but that's exciting. So I wanted to hear that from you. And I think, you know, in part of the article that I read that you kind of put out there too, it's like, yeah, it'll replace the ones that aren't paying attention to it, aren't learning it, and aren't in the right mindset to leverage it and to improve their legal services, improve client experience. You know, think about, I say this all the time, actually, you know, when someone's interacting with a law firm for like a personal injury case or a criminal defense case, it hopefully is the first time they've ever had to. So they're not comparing your law service to the next guy or gal. They're comparing it to their day-to-day interactions with Uber and Domino's and Google. They want things quickly. They get information quickly. And imagine if your law firm could offer that kind of instantaneous service updates, information, streamlining that and making it better for the client.
I hope they already are. I think that's already happened. People have been doing that for 10 or 15 years, right? You don't need AI to do that. I'll tell you what I think's exciting, Kevin. And by the way, you know, I'll second what you just said. I just drove through. It was either like a Wendy's or maybe it was into the Wiener Schnitzel after a movie. My wife and I were hungry on the way home. And the AI automated attendant was outstanding. It was actually a Wendy's here in Laguna Niguel, California. It was a perfect interaction, crystal clear conversation, no misunderstandings. It was an eye opener. I was like, whoa, this was pretty impressive. But I think what I'd like lawyers to really pay attention to is, yeah, you could use it for all of these basic things, but think about using it for predictive analysis. If a new case comes in, you can run it through the AI to determine whether or not it's a case your firm wants to take, what the expected outcome's going to be of that case in your particular jurisdiction. What are the requisite numbers? Just before we went live, I just got an email from a firm. They just accepted a policy demand that we put out a couple of weeks ago. That policy demand was premised not only upon, you know, our 3 decades of experience, but we actually ran it through one of our AIs to try to get a an idea of what's the settlement and jury verdict value of this particular case. And I've been doing this a long time. I'm pretty good at figuring out what our cases are worth. But in this particular case, the AI came back with an evaluation about 25% higher than what we were evaluating the case at, and it indicated why. And we were able to take that additional information and put it into our demand to justify the demand that we were ultimately making. And so using it behind the scenes, right, to just have more information and to be able to take action on that information, which gives you power. And I didn't mean to steer us away from what you're asking me, but I really want lawyers to think about the, you know, like the predictive analytics or analysis aspect of using AI. When I'm mediating cases, Kevin, I do a lot of Zoom mediations. And when we reach an impasse, you know, we're in breakout rooms on Zoom, and I'll let the parties know, look, grab a cup of coffee, use the bathroom, let's all circle back in about 10 minutes. I'll pop out, do both of those things, but I'll also open up another tab. And in that tab, I've got the parties' mediation briefs. I've got my own input where I've evaluated the attorney and the parties' personalities, if I know who they are, just a bunch of information, right? And then I'll ask the AI, look, this is what we're stuck at. Give me 5 open-ended questions to keep the conversation going and to get past this impasse. Or here's the sticking point during the settlement negotiations. Give me some new approaches that we haven't even thought about to reach that ultimate outcome. And what's happening is, look, we've all been doing this a long time. We know how to mediate cases and negotiate issues, but inevitably it gives me new ideas that I haven't thought about. And I'm admitting that to you and to your audience right now, because that's how powerful this thing is. And so I can swing back into the Zoom session. I can introduce a new approach or a new perspective or maybe some new ideas, some new terms and conditions, without having to do a lot of work to come up with these new ideas. But 100% of the time since we started doing this, it's helping us get the case resolved. And to me, that's just amazing, right? It's amazing if you know how to use this stuff to get the results that your clients are looking for. You said we could spitball back and forth. I know yeah. You're doing marketing for law firms and SEO and stuff like this. Are you starting to, are you using AI to help you with your SEO decisions and content and things like that? I'm just curious.
100%. I appreciate you. This is just, this is a riff. It's an open conversation.
Yeah.
And I'll just add one thing before I answer that. I think the theme here is, you can use AI to do basic stuff and automate some things, but you're saying go think bigger than that. Look deeper than that. There's more ways to use it than just, it'll automate an email and then send a message here and whatever. So I agree with you. So start thinking bigger. AI is way more powerful than you can completely imagine. Why a tool here, a tool there might help with a couple of tasks. That's at its basic level, right? And you should have already been doing that anyway. So to your point.
And if you're not, it's look, the systems are better now and they're easier to use. The interfaces are easier. Start now. Start implementing these things now. But I'm not going to let you off the hook. I am curious to see how you're using SEO and AI.
Absolutely. So, we've prided ourselves, writing content. Let's just talk about that. Content and SEO, backlinks, all that stuff. We pride ourselves on being very deep, knowledgeable, technical, like a lawyer, right? It's very complex how we do our SEO and proprietary to us to some degree. But, pride ourselves on, having a real person write the content, follow ABA compliance or guidelines for every state. So if a law firm's in, California, we follow those guidelines. They're attached to the writing piece. ADA compliance, and then, of course, the law and the practice area within that state. So there's a lot of things that we bake into, rule sets that we follow, right? So that it's ethical, it's done right. But it's also the brand and the voice of the firm. So then there's the marketing side of it. It can't just be SEO content that someone finds completely unreadable or, it's not helpful in that way. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to accomplish here instead of just a blog or a practice area page. There's a lot of goals to it. One, it has to show up in rank. Number two, it's got to be helpful and then convert that person to a client or to a lead. So But given that, so it sees, you know, a lot of SEO companies would say, well, we do not use AI because that's a no-no and Google doesn't like that, blah, blah, blah. We have a new generative AI content process that's being rolled out right now that's leveraging AI to write. Our costs are going down. And we still have very smart people to oversee, just like a lawyer, right? To intervene, to oversee, to make adjustments, to make sure the end product is what we need it to be. And then from the research side, I mean, that's where we've been using it for quite a while. You know, research on what others are doing, competition, what people are searching for, how their behaviors have changed, how, you know, what are they searching for, and how is that changing over time? As law firms have, you know, advertised and marketed so much more, the general public has a little more idea of some of these services and how they search for them. So, yeah, research, brief outlines, and then, of course, now we even have a content writing product that is going to be, you know, done with AI. But again, we still have our smart PhDs and people with English degrees to oversee the output. Of that product.
So let me ask you a question, because I think, you know, this is something I'm curious to hear your feedback, but I think your audience will also appreciate this conversation. A lot of times, let's just say you're a lawyer that's handling motorcycle personal injury cases, okay? What I see, and I've been doing this a long time, is lawyers sharing content and blog posts, social media posts about the same thing. It's the same issues, the same conversation. And frankly, I think most consumers are kind of tired of that. But what I've noticed is if you use AI, and ask questions through the consumer's eyes. In other words, tell me what consumers are looking for after a motorcycle accident, while they're laying in the hospital bed with, you know, an ungodly amount of medical bills staring them right in the face. They're not sure they're going to be able to walk again. What's going through their mind? What's the psychological impact and of someone in that situation? Emotionally, thinking of their family, thinking of what their future has in store, write a blog post about the three things that a qualified and experienced law firm can do right now, take their hand and make their situation, you know, 10 times better a week from now than what they're facing right now. And what I've noticed is, and that's not a very good prompt, but hopefully I'm making my point. What I'm noticing is content that's being created from a completely different perspective, a perspective that the potential client's going to relate to. And then by adding your humanness, if that's a word, to the post and making it yours and making it your firm's and looking through the eyes of the consumer, that's been a really unique way, I think, of how lawyers can use these types of tools to create content. And here's the fun part about it. What used to take us literally hours to do to write a post, back in the day, everything I just described can be done probably once you get the swing of things within just a couple of minutes, right? And so you can, you know, the first draft. And so instead of putting out one post a day, you can put out 10 posts a day, high quality posts written in a way that are more effective and in a different fashion that other lawyers across the state, country, and world are doing. And those are just little mindset changes, right? To tap into the attention aspect of digital. For example, my son works at VaynerMedia in Los Angeles. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's a post creative strategist. And Garrett was talking to me about a little plug for Garrett. He actually was part of Gary's team over in the Paris Olympics and went to London and ran things from the London office for 3 weeks out of that time zone. So I'm very proud of what he's doing there. But Garrett was talking to me about dad. When you're creating your content, you know, look at Gary's last book, I think it's called The Attention Economy, something like this. And he talks about, you know, creating content that will attract the attention of your anticipated reader or audience member. And what Garrett was talking to me about was, even if you're doing YouTube videos that get 20 views per YouTube video, okay, the way the algorithms are being designed right now, whether it's on YouTube, TikTok or Instagram, whatever it may be, is if you have content out there that attracts the attention of the viewer, you can tap into an entirely new demographic, new opportunities, new potential client base that will result in your content being read, digested, engaged with, shared, and acted upon. And it's kind of a new way of looking at things. If you incorporate traditional SEO approaches and techniques into what I just described, to me, that's a recipe for success when it comes to creating content. So I think it's really important that lawyers use AI to come up with new ways to continue to tweak the process in a timely way that they weren't able to do so in the past, because I know we're all busy, right?
Yeah, 100%. No, to your point, you know, when I talk to law firms all the time or lawyers and they look at their content, or my team does, you know, I feel like traditionally, if you think about SEO, just use that one, it's the mindset of most lawyers or law firms, like, I just need blog posts to hit the ground, and they don't review them, they don't read them, and the goal is that it drives their ranking, and that means they just get new clients. And then I say, well, what if they actually read the blog? You know, they would not probably want to become a client. Like, they're not written in a way that's creative, that's to their situation. It's not in the eyes of the client, like taking their situation, what they're feeling, what they're looking for, how they search. And so that's a big problem I see across the board. It's for the last decade or more, it's SEO content. It needs to be the client for the client content, right? Client-facing content that they're going to find helpful, that they're going to see is unique, that helps them in a situation, improves their situation. And so to your point, I see that as a big issue, and a lot of websites right now still have that dated, keyword-stuffed Google content, as you know what they want to call it. And you need to get content that, if I were to read Mitch's article, I come away going, wow, man, this is awesome. Like, he hit on all these different points, and that's exactly where I'm at, and it jives with me, and I want to know more. You want people coming away from your blogs or your post feeling that way and going, you know what? This has really helped my situation. Who do I want to call? Obviously, this law firm that's obviously got a different perspective than what I've seen out there before. So, yeah. And AI can help you do that for sure.
Absolutely. So, by building trust, right? You're creating content that's helpful. You're not asking for anything in return. There's no tagline at the end. This is the way I roll. You know, I'm not saying call me if you've been in an accident. I'm adding value. I'm trying to build trust. I'm building a rapport and relationship. And in exchange, when somebody needs me, I know this California lawyer who might be able to help me out. But the good news, Kevin, is you can take those types of old blog posts. You can feed them back into an AI system with the appropriate prompts, and you can turn them into an entertaining hero's journey storytelling type of technique. You can actually take that content and repurpose it to make it outstanding, right? And so that's one of the other things I love about AI is it allows us to take old content and repurpose it in new ways. And one of the best little tricks that I've ever come up with, you know, and it's something that David Merriman Scott coined the term newsjacking. And I've spoken at different lawyer events about newsjacking. Newsjacking is what's gotten me on stage twice at Tony Robbins Business Mastery. Okay, talking about how we go about it. The reason I'm bringing it up is with AI in today's world, it's never been easier to newsjack, and it's never been easier to create amazing, powerful newsjacking posts, social media content, whatever it may be, videos. And what I mean by that is when there's a breaking story out there that's of interest to you or you think might be of interest to your audience, you can immediately do your perspective on that story. You generally get David's book. It's called Newsjacking. It's $5 on Amazon. There's a strategy here, but you're going to want to share your unique opinion in the second paragraph as to why, when reporters are looking for someone to provide commentary on this breaking news story, they're going to be attracted to you and your unique perspective based upon how you're creating your newsjacking article, audio, or video. And I think with AI, once you set up your prompt, it's really easy to do.
That's a good tip right there. Great idea to generate those things. And that's how kind of traditional PR is done. You used to go pitch the news station and try to get on. But if they go search and say, who's the expert on this and who's in my local area, boom, using AI to get that stuff out there fast. You got mass tort, kinds of stuff. We need to get this content out right away.
It's created where if you do it the right way through storytelling, and it doesn't look like a sales pitch. It's more like, it's an informational piece where you're adding value to the story that nobody else is talking about. We did this on the Argentina cryptocurrency meme Libra story that's around the internet right now. If everyone hasn't looked at it, they might want to. And in that story, there were some issues about what went wrong. And basically, it's one of these stories where it went from a lot of money down to basically nothing. And there was some insider trading and snipers, a terminology in cryptocurrency called snipers. Long story short, we did a quick blog post, like I just described, on this story over in our Substack newsletter. And within maybe 2 hours, we had multiple people and companies reaching out to us, not only to comment on that story, but two of them were potential clients to help mediate this Web3 dispute. Like, they were looking for a lawyer that understood the terminology and how Web3 works and blockchain and smart contracts and cryptocurrency. And just through that article, we were able to highlight our expertise in this particular area. Number one, it went out and was shared by people really interested in that story. And we gave a shout out to CoffeeZilla, who's got a investigative YouTube channel on these types of frauds and scams. And it immediately put my firm at the top of the list when it comes to people researching this story. And so it's, and by the way, this took about 15 minutes of time, right? And so it's just a matter of give yourself permission to think a little bit different, to leverage these tools to create content, repurpose old content in ways that you haven't thought about. Take that blog post and say, recreate this blog post in a friendly, outgoing, and helpful way in the style of telling a hero's journey or the mens rea storytelling technique. And you'll be surprised at what the output looks like. And frankly, Kevin, as you and I well know, it's probably going to be 10 times better than the original blog post with just that simple prompt. It's amazing.
It really is. I mean, because, you know, we're not storytellers and writers in that sense, like naturally, right? You can prompt it. You can tell it. You can learn from what you've written in the past. Again, you know, it's super powerful. There's so much you can do with that, especially with newsjacking and things like that, where it's timely. You want to get it up on there quickly.
Just quick.
I know for me, I posted an article yesterday. We're in February, end of February when we're recording this, but LinkedIn is a trick right now. So if you do LinkedIn articles, what people say in Google, within 2 hours, you're on the first page of some of the hardest places to get search traffic, SEO standard, but LinkedIn articles, they'll go up in those news sections within hours of publishing them. So just one area that you can show up at, but very quick, hits the ground very quickly. So I put out at least one a week, but like lawyer SEO, I'm on the first page. If I was to pay pay-per-click for that, it would be astronomical. And so when they're in the SEO, traditional SEO, it'll take years with backlinks and article writing. So interesting things that are happening out there. Things are speeding up. And
gotta pay attention. Gotta pay attention.
Yeah,
so speaking of LinkedIn articles, real quick, I mentioned David Merriman Scott earlier. He's a dear friend of mine. LinkedIn first rolled out its LinkedIn article newsletter feature. Okay, we both jumped on it, right? It's exactly, Kevin, what you're talking about.
I have that too.
And within days, I've got a pretty big following, but David's got a much larger global following. His books have been translated in like 28 different languages around the world. Well-known keynote speaker. But I think within just 24 hours, he had like 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 email subscribers through the LinkedIn article newsletter feature. I picked up a couple thousand right away in the first 24 hours. And it's just like, for the reasons you just described, it's super powerful. One other tool that we're using that I would love to see lawyers start using more because it's really powerful is Google AI Studio. And what we're doing is we're putting our video opening statements or our video presentations, and we're uploading them into Google AI Studio. It's free. And we're asking it to analyze, how do we come across? Are we building rapport? Are we using the correct words? How's our sentence structure? What can I do to be better? And we have prompts for this. If anyone's watching and they want the prompt that I'm using, just reach out to me. It'd be my pleasure. I love helping other lawyers. But what it does is it analyzes how you come across. Like, we can put this video in right now, Kevin, and it will take you and I and it'll give us suggestions to be more effective, more persuasive, right? And to me, those are the type, that's the type of feedback that make lawyers better, whether you're meeting a client one-on-one in your office or whether you're standing in front of 12 strangers who may end up being, you know, your jurors on a case. If you learn what you're doing wrong and correct it and double down on what you're doing right, I think it's just magical. So we're really enjoying that particular product also.
That's super cool. Huge tip right there. I've never done that or heard of that. I use Google products and Gemini and all that stuff, but that's super
Google
cool.
Google AI Studio.
All right, going on my list for sure. Well, Mitch, I hate that we're out of time. I think we could probably talk all day. Maybe I should have you back on, maybe dive into some other tools and methods. I'd love to have you probably back on the show. But for everyone out there listening, thanks for tuning in. Obviously, always check out LinkedIn newsletters if you don't have those. I got like 3,000 subscribers, like you said, overnight pretty much. And
well, you're gonna have one more after this show.
One more. All right, let's go. Let's sign up. So, well, Mitch, thanks so much. What's the best way for our listeners, our lawyers out there to connect with you if they got questions?
You know, I'll tell you what, I'm all over social media, just Google Mitch Jackson, but I really would prefer everyone connecting with me over on LinkedIn. It's at Mitch Jackson on LinkedIn, and we can do the digital dance. And if anyone has any questions about anything that we talked about, just reach out to me or go through Kevin, and I'll make sure I hook you up with how we're doing the things that we're doing.
Yeah, super knowledgeable. Obviously, this is stuff I would suggest connecting with Mitch. He responded to me right away from a message and connection. So I know he's on there and available. So, well, Mitch, thank you so much. Everyone enjoyed what they heard today. And again, I know we can go much deeper. So looking forward to doing that here in the future. So,
love you so much. Thank you.
Get out there, leverage AI, learn it, and don't be afraid of it. We'll see y'all soon.